Ushers, you can go ahead. Well, we're starting a brand new series called Citizens and Sojourners. And as you can see from this awesome backdrop behind me, it reminds us that, yeah, the reality is we are in this world and we face many decisions to make and many different circumstances and situations in our lives. But Pastor Wayne's going to come out and share with us and help us to understand the importance of knowing where our citizenship is and where our homeland is, because understanding that will affect how we live our lives every day in this world. But before that, let's take a look at this.
Get away, 'cause only you can save me now from this misery. Tell me. Cause I've been locked up way too long in this crazy world. How far is heaven? And I just keep on praying, Lord, and just keep on living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me? How far is heaven?
I just got to know how far.
How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me?
Would you take out your notes with me as we embark on our new series called Citizens and Sojourners? I'm convinced that we live on an earth where two worlds collide. Now, you ever been in a place where language collides and communication gets lost? Well, it happened, and a woman came to the divorce court. She's from a rural town, and the divorce court judge leans over his bench and, And he says, so you're here to finalize your divorce, are you? And the woman said, well, my husband wants a divorce, but I'm fine. Well, the judge says, well, what's the reason for the divorce? Do you have any grounds? She said, yes, we own 2 acres of ground right outside the city limits. He said, no, no, no. Do you have a grudge with each other? She said, yes, it's a 2-car grudge. We just painted it. No, the judge said, no, 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 no. Do you have an offense? She says, yes, nearly 2 acres of fence all the way around the grounds that we own. He said, no, ma'am, ma'am. Does he beat you up? Said, no, I get up at 5. He gets up at 7. I beat him up every morning. The judge says, woman, woman, what is going on? What's the reason for the divorce? She said, I don't know. He just says we can't communicate. Sometimes languages collide, and sometimes so do people. As the story goes of an elderly man that, if the truth be known, he shouldn't be driving anymore. He was just too elderly. But nevertheless, he gets in the car, goes grocery shopping. And on the way home from grocery shopping, he gets a call on his cell phone from his wife in a frantic voice. She says, Henry, Henry, be careful. I just heard on the radio that there's a car on the freeway going the wrong way. And he says, I know, Agnes, I know. And it ain't just one car going the wrong way. It's hundreds of them. Sometimes people collide. But the more I read the Bible, the more I'm convinced that we live on an earth where two worlds intersect and sometimes collide. But in this series, it's my hope that by understanding these two worlds, we'll better understand how we are to live as citizens and sojourners. Now, Jesus is the one that establishes these two worlds, or we call them two kingdoms. And he speaks about that. He was actually before his accusers, and he begins to speak. And would you read at the top of our notes in the best voice you can, what he's saying in John 8:23. Let's read it. Go. He was saying to them, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not. He establishes that there are two worlds that intersect on this globe called the earth. And you will see that as you read through the Bible, you'll constantly be catching these two worlds. For example, in the book of James, he says that you can get the source of your wisdom from above or a wisdom from that's beneath. You'll hear Paul say, set your mind on things above. That's everlasting, not on the things that are beneath, because that ends in death. You'll constantly be hearing about these two worlds, how the Lord will say that you are aliens and strangers on this world, but that you're citizens of heaven. You'll hear him speak about all kinds of phrases that distinguish which world is your citizenship on. You see, these two worlds have its own distinguishing mark, its own traits, its own characteristics. They converge on this thing called earth, but these two worlds have their own governments, their own set of laws, their own ways, their own philosophies, their own mindsets, their own heart sets. And Jesus establishes these two. And you must choose which your citizenship will be in. Now, these worlds don't have physical parameters. They're not bordered by nations. They're not determined by nationality or race, ethnicity. No, but they're every bit there. In fact, the Lord is trying to describe it to some people when they said, where is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of the world? And Jesus says this in Luke 17. And he says this, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Nor will anyone say, here it is or there it is. Behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. In other words, he's saying the kingdom of God does not have physical parameters. The kingdom of God runs straight through the hearts of every man, woman, and child. In fact, it actually says in the original, the kingdom of God is within you, which means you must choose which kingdom you're going to be a part of. Where is your citizenship? In the world? Kingdom of God. It's up to you. You must choose. And so the Lord begins to delineate these two worlds. The first is, would you write number one, is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. You see, when it says the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, they'll use those words interchangeably. If it's called the kingdom of God, this is a kingdom where God rules, where he establishes the order, the governance. You are under his protection, his provision, his ways, his promises. So the kingdom of God is where God rules, where Jesus Christ reigns. And let's read what he says in Colossians 1. Go. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved. Would you circle the words transferred us? There must be in your lifetime a transfer that takes place. A transfer. Why? Because the other kingdom is called, right in number two, the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of this world. Now that is based on self. That is a different world. Let's read what Jesus says before Pontius Pilate. And he was in the praetorium. And Pontius Pilate said, hey, Jesus, your nation is delivering, you know, the one that you, they say you're the king of the Jews. Well, that's the very nation that's delivering you up to be crucified. What do you think? And Jesus answers, and let's read his answer. Go. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Yeah, he's saying there's two realms, two laws at work, two philosophies, two ways of thinking, two governments. And when he came as Emmanuel, the prophecy was the government of God would be on your shoulders. You would be the ruler of this one. And people must choose. And there's two kingdoms or two worlds that share the same earth. Each has its own traits. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the boastful pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Each has its own traits. And we want to find out what these are. And we must choose. Now, if the kingdom of God is where God is king, then the kingdom of the world, who reigns there? Let me tell you what happened in the beginning. Lucifer, or Satan, was cast out of heaven, the Bible says, to this earth. And he rules in a certain realm. Well, it's not in the kingdom of God. It's in the kingdom of this world. That's where he becomes the prince and the power of this world. Or sometimes you'll hear it called, he's the prince and the power of the air, or this realm here. And that's exactly what happens. And those that are caught in that realm come under his governance, come under his ways. That's his arena. And they're caught in a web of deception. Now, we who are born are naturalized citizens in this realm first. Because of the sin of Adam, we were all born into sin. So we're naturalized citizens of this realm. Now, Satan's desire is to make sure we don't transfer. And that's exactly what the scripture says. Would you write in the next bullet, the world is where Satan works. That's where he does his best work, isn't it? That's his arena. The duplicitous, deceiving work of the enemy. But what's his goal? Let's read it. Go. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel. You see, God knows that we were naturalized citizens in this thing called the world, on this earth where two worlds converge, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. We were born naturalized citizens here. We must make a choice to transfer. Because he won't do it automatically. It requires our volition, our choice. For without choice, then we'd be robots. But God says, I'm going to give you a choice. But because of the sin of Adam, you're naturalized citizens here, not here. But God so loved the world that he made a way. But you're naturalized citizens here. Now we must choose which country we will have our citizenship. Now you have to remember, would you write in the next bullet, one kingdom is eternal and the other is passing away. One kingdom is eternal and the other is passing away. Which is which? Let's read what it says. Go. The world is passing away and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides. You must choose. One is passing away. And if the enemy can keep you as a naturalized citizen and make no choice about the kingdom of God, then you will pass away with it. So he's going to blind our eyes as much as he can so that we don't see the light of the gospel. But the decision you make to transfer will be the most eternal decision you'll ever make in your life. You know why? Right in the next bullet. Because our stay on this earth is brief. Our stay on earth is brief. Did you know right now you are traveling at 6,600 miles an hour? That's how fast this earth is going through space, all the while spinning on its axis at 23 degrees. And it's going whoop around. And a few more spins, it'll be done. In fact, it is so brief that the book of James says our life compared to something, why, it's like a vapor and it's gone. Book of Psalms says our life is like a breath and it's gone. Just that fast. Job says our life is like a sigh. And that's it. So it's on this spinning earth that we must make a decision. And during this time, the Bible gives us a certain lifestyle that we are to live. And let's read what he says in 1 Peter. Go. You must live in reverent fear of him during your time as foreigners here on earth. What has God called us to be on this earth? In this title of the series called Citizens and Sojourners, the word citizen is pretty well known. It's where your citizenship is where your home is where you abide. It's your home base. It's your residency. The word sojourners is not so oft used. But the word sojourner means a traveler, one who is passing through to a certain destination, but he is en route. And so though he stays overnight at this city, bunks in this city, he is still a sojourner passing through to a different destination. And God calls us citizens of heaven, sojourners on earth. Sometimes we might think, well, our citizenship is of the world and we kind of visit heaven. And God is saying, no, you are to be citizens of heaven visiting the earth. Yeah, but I kind of like it the other way. I like to be citizen here and just kind of visit, dabble in on Sundays, Christmas, Easter, and then come back here. Lord says, no. You must make a decision. Your time on earth is brief. Now, let me give you a little sidebar about earth. The word earth and world may be used interchangeably, but in this case, it doesn't mean the same. When you are a part of the earth, does not mean you're a part of the world necessarily. In fact, let's read what Psalm 24 and verse 1 says about the earth. Go. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Yeah, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, let me make a little sidebar. Please take time to enjoy the earth. See, God created the Ko'olau's from Hanalei Bay all the way to Mauna Kea, Haleakala, the beautiful coastline. God created that for you and for me. Please don't ever feel guilty about taking time to see the beautiful sunrise. Take time to watch the sunset. Take time to visit Waimea Canyon. Or wherever you go, take time, the Grand Canyon. Don't let this life pass where you have not taken time to enjoy the beauty of God's creation. He created it for us. Did you know that there's an old rabbinic saying that goes like this? One day, God will hold us all accountable for the things He created for us to enjoy, but we refuse to do so. Our life will be gone. And God says, I've created the mountains and the forests and the valleys for you, but we refused to enjoy them. And God is saying, take time to not only enjoy the earth, but steward the earth. Steward it well. But please do. How many of us, don't do a show of hands, but how many of us live in Hawaii and can you think of the last time you swam at Ala Moana or Waikiki? And we live here in Hawaii. But we don't even enjoy what God has created. I remember living in Hilo after about 10, 11 years. My brother Jerome came to visit me and he said, hey, Wayne, I want to see Akaka Falls. I said, yeah, shoot, that's right down the Hamakua coast. I know exactly where it is. I took him there, went down a winding path, and it opened up to the most beautiful panoramic view of Akaka Falls, mighty rushing water. And I stood there, my mouth dropped open. I thought, wow. My brother looked at me and said, is this the first time you saw it? I said, yeah, wow. Isn't it true? We hardly see Hawaii until your relatives come and you act like a tour guide. And the Lord is saying, take time. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Enjoy what I've created. But two worlds share the same earth. And sometimes they collide. Well, you say, Wayne, if we had been naturalized citizens of the kingdom of this world, where the prince and the power of this world reigns, and we can get caught in that duplicity and deception, how do we transfer? How do we transfer citizenships? You know, that's the exact question that Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee in John chapter 3, asked Jesus. He actually comes to Jesus at night because of fear for his peers. So he came to Jesus at night, this guy named Nicodemus. So I call him Nick at night. Hey, I'm trying. Come on, you know. And he came to Jesus and he said, how do I transfer to the kingdom of God? And Jesus says something really interesting. He said, unless you be born again, you can never see the kingdom of heaven. Now Nicodemus scratches his head and he says, born again? Wait a minute, I'm already born. He said, but unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus says, wait a minute. This is impossible. I'm already born. Yeah, but you got to be born again. I can't. I'm already born dead. I said, but you must be born again. How do you do that? He says, do I have to like die and get back into my mother's womb and then have her born me again? Jesus said, kind of like that. He said, I can't figure that out. Well, let me explain it to you. Let's say the immigration laws of the United States of America were changed. From now on, you cannot be a citizen of America unless you were born in the continental United States. Well, all of a sudden we say, wait a minute, wait a minute. I want to be a citizen of America. Were you born there? No, then sorry. But I want to be. No, you got to be born in the U.S. of A. Yeah, but I want to be a citizen. Where were you born? Portugal. Too bad. You got to be born in the U.S., but I'm already born. Sorry, you got to be born in the USA. Well, what do I have to do? Be like, die and be born again? Sort of. How does that happen? I can't. Well, with man, it's impossible. But with God, it's possible. You mean to die and then come back to life in another nation? Uh-huh. How? Well, God saw that you are a naturalized citizen in the world, and there was no way to transfer you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God. But God so loved the world, those caught in the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish on that which is passing away, but have eternal life. So what God did was this. He came in the form of man, knowing that you and I would have to die in order to be born again. But we couldn't do that. We couldn't come back to life. So God himself came and took the death that we needed to die, and he bore that. He willingly died on our behalf. And then the power of God resurrected him. And he now blazed the trail that it is now possible to die and to come back to life. But we can't do it. But he did it for us. So he spanned the gap between this transfer of the world and the kingdom of God with the cross. And he died for us. Now he says this, I have paved the way. You can't do it on your own, but it is possible in Christ. Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he can be a new creation. Old things are passed away or died. Behold, all things are new. In other words, if I put my heart and my faith in Christ and the completed work that he has done for me on the cross, by faith, I can die to my old citizenship. I can rescind. I can recant my citizenship. I relinquish it. How do you relinquish it? You got to die. I die. But in Christ, I can be born again by faith. So it is no longer me. I've died. My life is hid, the Bible says, in Christ. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live anymore, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. In other words, when I come to Christ, I die. I relinquish my citizenship as a world person to live under Satan's domain, to do things the worldly way. I die to that. And in Christ, I am a new creation. Now, am I my own? Nope. Do I own this body? Nope. Do I own anything? Nope. I'm a steward. God has given to me a new beginning. So I didn't just walk from one to the other. I died and I was born again. Now the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. So I am now under his jurisdiction, his ways. I belong to Christ. I am not my own. I'm living his life. So now I am a citizen that has been born again and a sojourner. Now I'm still on this earth, but I do it as an ambassador for Christ. Because there's a whole bunch of other people down here that don't know that there's a way home. But now we get to share his life. That's why the Bible says, as I give you this assignment to be ambassadors for Christ as sojourners, don't forget who you are now. So how does it all start? Well, it starts with, would you write number one, choose to be born again. Choose. Remember, we're naturalized citizens of this world. And you must choose the Lord. That's called faith. And that's what he said to Nicodemus. Let's read that scripture. John 3:3, go. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the next one, for you were once not a people, but now. Now, let me say this real quick. It's in the next bullet. Listen very carefully. There are no dual citizenships. Sorry. No dual citizenships. You must choose. When you die to one, you relinquish that citizenship. Because you died. You're no longer a citizen. You're dead. And now you're born again. And your citizenship is now in the kingdom of God. Now you're a sojourner, but you're not the old person anymore. That old Wayne is dead. Now don't get it mixed up sometimes. Sometimes we think, well, I'm a citizen of the world visiting heaven. No, no, you're a citizen of heaven visiting this world. And you come as an ambassador for Christ. And sometimes we can get so caught up in this world, we lose our identity a little bit. We get thrown around with the ways of the world. And we start to use the ways of the world. And we start to get comfortable. And you know what happens? We forget who we are. And the Lord is saying, don't forget who you are. That's why you'll hear again and again the Bible say, you've heard it said, but it must not be so among you. You've seen it done, but it must not be so among you. You'll hear the scripture say, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, you'll be good for nothing except to be what? Trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. Nobody puts out that light or puts it under a peck measure, but they put it on the lampstand so that all can see. You are the light of the world. Let your light not be doused, not be changed or stained. Let your light so shine before men so they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Yeah. So he's saying, I've given you a purpose to be on this earth, to shine a light. How? Where? Well, sometimes we think we're supposed to shine the light on everybody's sin. Look what you do. Look at that. What about you? Yo! Yo, don't you laugh. You! They think, woohoo, I got it. No, he doesn't say to judge others with the light. Oh, we like to do that because it makes us feel holy, but that's not our purpose. Well, some shine it on themselves. Look how good I am. Yeah, that is done for me. No, God does not say let your light shine on other people's sin or yourself. Because if it's on others' sin, that's legalism or Pharisaism. Self, it's self-righteousness. He says you use your light to show people the way home, that they too can be born again. You shine it on our Father. Let your light so shine before men so they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's our purpose. And so God is saying that there's no dual citizenship. But by the way, don't forget who you are. Oh, it's so easy. Israel kept forgetting who they were. Do you know why the Lord says, when you come into the new land, don't forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt? You read how many times God says, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. Why do you think God had to institute so many festivals and feast days and holidays and dress in this way and put these tassels here and wear this and wear that? You know what it was all about? To remind them who they were. That's it. Because they forgot so much. And now they still put the stuff on. They still forget who they are. It's like, whoa. It should scare us to death when we forget who we are. There should be sensors going off. Because we've forgotten that we're citizens of heaven. Sojourning on this earth as ambassadors for Christ. That's your whole role. We forget. I remember when my son Aaron forgot. I got a call at the office. My wife said, honey, come home right away because Aaron hit his head and he can't remember anything. Click. Oh, no. So I rush home to find out that Aaron and two of his friends found a sloping hill and an empty 55-gallon barrel drum. And they thought, what fun to put each other in and roll them down the hill. So the first one to volunteer his life on the suicide mission was none other than Aaron himself. I don't know where he got this courage. It must have been from his mother. He crawls in there and his two dubious friends roll him down this hill. And at first it starts off with a slow loping roll about 5 miles an hour. And then it creases to Mach 4. Now it's going bang, bang, and end over end. Bang, bang. And on one of those spins, he hits his head so hard on the inside of the barrel, it knocks him out cold. And it comes to a screeching halt, bang, at the end. He falls out unconscious. They pick him up, finally wake him up. He doesn't know what's going on. They bring him home, and when I come home, I'd never seen him so scared. Dad, he said, I can't remember. And so I check him out. I said, you got a concussion, and you have temporary amnesia. I said, son, it'll come back in a day or two, and you'll remember everything except the event itself. You'll never get that back, but you're okay. No, I can't remember. So my wife, take him to the hospital. Take him. Okay. So I get in the car. I get his two culprit friends to come with me. And we go to the emergency, and he's crying. Dad, I'm so scared. I said, settle down. It'll come back. Well, they take him in, and they give his head a scan. They do a full scan, and the doctor comes back and says, we don't find anything wrong. Surprised me, there was nothing wrong in his head. Your machine just can't detect what's wrong. That's wrong. In fact, I said, doctor, you see these two kids? Put them through one of those scans, too. Well, I said, Aaron, you have a concussion. The doctor conferred, and he said, yes, you have a concussion, and your memory will come back in a day or two, except for the event. I said, see, Aaron? So take him up. I'm trying to comfort him as much as I can, but I've never seen him so scared. And sure enough, a couple days later, it all came back. But all that to say, when we lose our identity, it should just scare us and not make us feel okay and normalized. It should scare us. And may it be so with us, so that we'll remember that we're citizens and sojourners. We're under a different government. Now, some of you might say, Wayne, how were you so confident to know that his memory would come back after that? Experience. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say anymore. Experience. Well, God says that I have transferred you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of my beloved Son through the cross, that you have died and you're born again. In fact, some of you will be baptized today, and baptism is a public confession of the fact that when you go under, you're saying in public, I bury myself in the past. I relinquish my citizenship that I was naturalized in this world. And when I come up by the power of Christ, and I will live by faith under a new governance, a new government, and I will represent him as an ambassador on this spinning globe. It's a powerful statement. Well, you say, Wayne, why is that so important that we not lose our identity? I'll tell you why. Have you ever seen like a preview to a movie? It's 30 seconds. That's all it is, 30 seconds. And you see the preview and you go, wow, I want to see that movie. And you elbow your wife, honey, we got to see that movie. And your determination on whether you're going to see that movie is based on 30 seconds. Or you'll see a trailer, we call it, but it's actually a preview. We'll see another preview and it's not that good. And we'll say, let's not see that one. And our whole decision is based on 30 seconds. Isn't that right? That's why they put so much money and time into these previews, because they know that half of America will either see or not see a movie based on a 30-second snippet preview. Why does God want us to make sure that we don't forget who we are? You know why? Would you write it number two? Because God has asked us to be a preview of heaven. That's what we are on this earth. We're a preview. You know, isn't it true many people will base their decision on whether or not they will be born again or not based on the preview of heaven? And that's why God puts so much of his investment and his time and his Spirit's work in us who are ambassadors for Christ. Don't forget who you are. It's too important. There's too many people riding their decisions, riding on us. You know why God said, here's why it's so important. The Lord says this. He says, even if you give a cup of water in my name, you will not lose your reward. What he's saying is even the smallest thing that you do as a representative of heaven is more important than you'll ever realize. because people are watching. We have the privilege of partnering with other ministries and other churches in this city. Wonderful churches all around. From Baptist to Assembly of God, the River of Life Mission, Campus Crusade, Youth for Christ, Young Life, all of these wonderful ministries. We're all to be ambassadors for Christ, like a preview of heaven. That's what the Bible says. Let's read the scripture under that number two. Go. You are a chosen people. You are a kingdom of priests, God's holy nation, His very own possession. Why? This is so you can show others the goodness of God. For He called you out of the darkness and into His wonderful light. In other words, if God can do that for us, He can do that for anybody. If God can change my life, He can change anybody's. If He can take you from your hurt and give you a new beginning so that you're a citizen of heaven, He can do that for anyone. And there's a whole bunch of people caught in this naturalized citizenry called the world into which we were born. And they're looking for a way home. We are the preview of heaven. And so the Lord says, you're a citizen of heaven. Don't ever forget that. You're under a different government. You think differently. You're under a different set of laws. Don't think like the world. And once you're a citizen of heaven, things of the world won't fit you anymore. It's like trying to put on clothes that's too big or too small. Won't fit you. So it's better just to be who you are. When you try to be worldly as a Christian, oh, it's terrible. Terrible. You don't even sin good anymore. Isn't that right? When I was in the world, I sinned good. I tell you, I sinned good. But when I died to that, and became a citizen of heaven, and I tried to go back sort of into my corpse kind of thing, you know, into my old ways. Doesn't fit. It stinks. It's not there. It doesn't work. You're a terrible sinner. So the best is, be who you are, a citizen of heaven and a sojourner. And when people see that God is changing you into His image day by day, you will be an ever-increasing, beautiful preview of heaven. And many people will say, that's what I want. And you will see them transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son. And we are citizens and sojourners. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank You so very much for calling us and then allowing us to have the beautiful miracle of relinquishing our citizenship in this world, dying to that and being born again into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, I pray that You will help us. Help us to grow into that and learn the ways of the government of heaven so that we can be ambassadors in this spinning earth. With your heads bowed, if you're here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I really don't know what citizenship I'm of. I kind of think my citizenship is in this world and I'm kind of visiting, dabbling in, trying, testing the things of the kingdom of God. But it's never going to work until I'm willing to die and relinquish my citizenship here. To be through Christ born again. And that's a choice that I make. It's already been done by Christ. I can't do that physically. But He has. And He offers us the gift of redemption, the gift of salvation. Today, I want to partake in that. I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. I choose to be born again. I relinquish not only my citizenship, but the sin that goes with it. And I lay it before the cross. And I choose to be born again, fresh and anew. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to be born again. That's my choice. And if that's you, would you raise a hand and you're saying, yep, I want to make that choice today. I really do. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yep. Okay. Yep. The Lord sees those hands too. Yep. Okay. Yep. Or in the side. Yeah. In the back. Okay. The Lord sees that hand. Yeah. Okay, good. You can put your hands down. If you're here and you say, you know, Wayne, I'm a citizen of heaven, but I tell you, I get stained by the things of the world so much that I almost forget who I am. I get caught up in it, and I try to use worldly ways, and it just doesn't fit anymore. I don't want that anymore. Lord, would you help me? Give me your strength to live as a citizen of heaven. Teach me, Lord. I just need your strength. If that's you, would you raise a hand and say, yeah, I want to be an ambassador for Christ a little more than I have been. Yeah. Yeah. You can put your hands down, and let's all stand together, and we're going to pray. If this is the first time you've prayed that this prayer that we're about to pray of salvation, please stop by in the back. There's a yes table, and they have a yes packet, and they'll be holding it up like this. And please take a yes packet. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. It's for you to help you in your first few steps with the Lord. And come, be baptized. Make a public confession that this is my choice, that I am relinquishing my citizenship to the world. And I will be born again by His power. And I'm going to walk in His resurrection strength. That's my choice, everybody. And we make that choice. It's a powerful statement. And that's today at 3 o'clock at Magic Island. But let's all do this. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Would you pray it after me? And if this is your first time, pray it with all your heart. And if this is your 50th time, let's all renew our identity as citizens and sojourners. Would you pray this with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might relinquish my old citizenship to die to the old and to be born again as a citizen of heaven. I receive that and I choose to be born again. I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my King. I am a citizen of heaven, never to return to my old ways from this day on. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, thank you for allowing us to make that commitment. And you know, Lord, even though sometimes I stumble and fumble and fall, your forgiveness is there to restore me and renew my identity. You never come at me with condemnation, only with an embrace and an invitation to draw near to you afresh. Thank you for that, Lord. Now, Lord, would you seal to our hearts what you've spoken to us today? In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision to follow Jesus for the first time. Let's sing together.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Sing it again.
I have decided to follow Jesus. And I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
The cross before me.
The cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back,
no turning back,
no turning back, no turning back.